Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Tim Berry is our good friend. He's our guest today. He is the author of the outstanding book called Hurdle, the book on business planning. It's a tremendous resource. Every small business should have one. And he is the president of Palo Alto Software Company he founded, which produces one of the world's best business planning software, which includes Business Plan Pro for PCs and Business Plan Toolkit for Macintosh. And Tim is one of the world's experts on business planning. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Jim.
Tim is also a member of the Brain Trust, and we couldn't do without him. And Tim, I know you and I've got some things we want to talk about, but before we do, looks like we've got a caller right out of the box. Who we got, James?
Jim, we have Gary calling from Maryland online.
Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Jim.
How you doing,
sir?
Good
morning, Gary. I'm doing fine. Hello,
hey.
Jim.
What's going on, Gary?
Well, just driving to work and all this in the parking lot here on the 270.
Yeah? The parking lot. How many folks are around you there?
How many? A lot.
Well, wave at some of them for me.
Just count the tires and divide by four.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that's terrible, isn't it?
It is.
So what's going on, Gary?
Well, I guess you have some questions.
Yeah, you have some trivia questions.
And I think I have almost all the answers.
Well, now Gary, I'm not going to let you be piggy, because somebody else might want to answer some of these.
Okay.
You want to get a chance to win a copy of Tim's book, Hurdle, the book on business planning?
I sure do.
All right. I tell you what, why don't you pick out the hardest one? Which one do you think is the hardest one?
Which one do I think is the hardest?
Yeah, which would be the most difficult? Answer that one for me.
Well, geez, I don't know. The hardest one probably would be the nuclear disaster, but I think I know the answer to that.
Okay,
but
why don't you go for that one?
Okay, I think that might have been Chernobyl.
Chernobyl? All right, I need the country, too.
Hey, was that in Russia?
Yeah, good for you. See? It wasn't so hard.
Oh, it wasn't.
Good for you, Gary. I appreciate that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you answer one more.
Okay.
Go ahead. Try another hard one.
Okay, another hard one. You tell me.
All right, how about the vaccine?
Jonas Salk.
Good for you. All right, got you double,
Gary.
Gary, what do you do for a living?
Have a winner.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Gary, what do you do for a living?
I work for a television show called Smart TV.
Yeah?
And we produce a show where we highlight small and medium-sized businesses here in the D.C. metropolitan area.
Good for you. Great. That's good work.
Yes, it is. We provide marketing videos for them and give them a marketing program to help bring revenue to their bottom line.
Good. Good. That's great. You got any questions for Tim?
Tim, I do have a question. In today's economy and with a business obviously changing, what is the factor that with this change that is going on that perhaps leads to marketing? People are using traditional marketing methods, and we know that there's a change with internet and with TV, with video and so forth. Do you see a lot of companies now going to other marketing methods or marketing techniques to help them grow?
Oh, that is good question, Gary. Obviously, let me generalize because it depends a lot on the company, but I do really see changes, particularly you mentioned the internet. I see that there is this new medium of communication called the internet that is changing small business as well as large business and will change it more, because to me it seems like that. It's a new medium of communicating information that just didn't exist before, and businesses are taking advantage of it because it really adds to the depth of the marketing mix. I think it must have been something like that when the toll-free telephone numbers first appeared back in the 30s or 40s, where suddenly there's another way to do it. And I don't think companies are dropping the old ways, and I don't think it's changing the essence of marketing, but it's just a new tool. It's wonderful, and I see companies moving to that medium very, very fast. That's a generalization, but does that sound like the kind of factors you're talking about?
Yes, it does. My concern is with literally hundreds of thousands of websites out there is, you know, companies have to get theirs known. I mean, just because it's out there doesn't mean they're going to get the hits they need, and it's a matter of marketing that website to let people know that they even exist.
Exactly. See, that's why I like it to the toll-free telephone number, because just having an 800 number, 888 number, doesn't mean anybody's going to call it. And to me, the internet has to be part of the marketing mix. It doesn't necessarily change the company, because just like you say, Gary, you can put up this website And if nobody comes, it doesn't do you a bit of difference. So it has to be part of a whole marketing package, doesn't it? It's
yep.
not just now suddenly our life has changed. You still have to do all your fundamentals in marketing to be able to get people to go to get the information you need them to get.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I think happens, Gary, to small businesses is they put a website up and they sort of sit back and say, okay, where's the business?
I see that a lot.
You know, they think, well, you know, I'm on the Internet now. What? How come I'm not getting a lot of business here? And they don't realize, as Tim, as you said, it's just one of the tools in your kit bag, isn't it?
Part of the marketing mix, actually. So, but, boy, let's not forget that it is also a new tool that you don't want to neglect or just say, well, it doesn't make... It's a very powerful way to transmit information, and it certainly has changed our business, and I think lots of businesses. But, of course, we are taking it as part of the mix. It's just one of the tools.
One of the things, Gary, I don't know if you noticed or not, but recently the top folks at Compaq Computer lost their job.
Yes, I did notice that.
Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember why they lost their job?
Well, I'm not exactly sure why. I don't follow a lot of the high-tech companies, actually.
They'd actually been doing tremendous. They'd had a 7-year run. It was incredible, but they had not focused on, they had focused mostly on the retail and not on, you know, not on the Internet as much, mm-hmm. apparently. And so even though they had done a great job, times are changing. And so those guys, they actually got axed, and they brought some new people in that are going to take that company in a new direction. And they probably should have paid more attention to the Internet. Gary, thank you for joining us. That's an excellent question. Thank you for answering our trivia question. Be sure to stay tuned so James can get your address and everything, and we'll send you a copy of Tim's book. Have a good one. All right, Tim, stand by, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tim Berry and I will be right back. All right, we are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and we just had a call from Gary. See how easy that was, folks, and it didn't hurt him at all? Give us a call, 888-822-8255, if you want to answer one of my trivia questions. I've still got a couple left. One of them is Charles Richter. I want to know what he did. What was he known for having developed? And also, let's see. Oh, yeah, here's the easy one. Today's the day that the man who assassinated President Lincoln died. I want to know what his name is. 888-822-8255. Tim, I found the article that I was referring to a minute ago when Gary asked us the question about the Internet and using it as I've forgotten the exact way he posed his question, but I made the comment about the situation at Compaq. I want to read a couple of things here. This is from the Journal. This is an article that was written by John Browning and Spencer Reese, and the story is that the gentleman who was the CEO of Compaq, who had actually, and Tim, you're familiar with the story, the Compaq has had a tremendous run in the retail distribution of computers, haven't they?
Yeah, I was saying, I'm so impressed with how much Compaq has taken over the stores. Go to a retail store in the United States market, CompUSA, Office Depot, any of those major chain stores, and take a look, and you'll see that Compaq is just there. They've done a great job. They've pushed their product onto the store shelves everywhere, and it's in the last 2 or 3 years that they've really come strong in that market.
Now, you're making that comment now basically post-mortem, so to say. But two weeks ago...
I know I'm making that comment with the Wall Street Journal story saying that that's why the guy got fired.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the interesting thing is 2 weeks ago you would have said that and we would have all said, oh, yeah, you know, this guy's a real smart guy, and he is a smart guy. But here's what these gentlemen reported in the Journal, that Pfeiffer and some of the other people were fired because they were too slow to shift to direct sales of personal computers via the Internet. It's kind of what we were talking with Gary about.
Well, you know, what worries me, and Jim, relating it back to small business, is this idea of imitating the herd rather than sticking to fundamentals sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the Internet, well, we were just talking with Gary about what a great new development that is in business, but still, it seems to make so much sense that here's a company that's been successful in this other market. Maybe it's a more old-fashioned, traditional market, but it's still it's still there. They're buying tons of computers there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the fad now is the Internet, so does that mean it's a bad business if it doesn't go to the internet?
Well, the I'm going to read on a little bit because this highlights something that I think we want to talk about a little bit today. Reading from the article by John Browning and Spencer Reese in the Wall Street Journal on the compact issue. The sin that brought about Mr. Pfeiffer's downfall was one that a lot of people used to consider a virtue, which is, on his seven-year watch, Compaq built the best retail distribution network in the computer industry. Understandably, he was loath to abandon his prodigal achievement and the people who made it work so well, but he was wrong not to, for the Internet really has changed the rules of distribution, especially in the computer industry.
Well, it certainly has in the software industry. It's just on the outside, not knowing Mr. Pfeiffer or what's going on in Compaq, it seems a shame to call a success in a market as strong as U.S. retail a failure because he wasn't in the fancy, snazzy market. If you're selling the machines, you're selling the machines. But then I guess Compaq stock went down last week because they weren't making the profits they thought to.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to, the reason I wanted to sort of bring this up, and I had this article here. It's awfully coincidental that Gary made that call, and it made me think of this article because I did want to ask your opinion about it since that's an industry that computer industry is something that you're very, very involved in and very familiar with, and that is, as good a job as he was doing and as successful as he had been, and he's one of the success stories of the high-tech industry, he lost his job because he didn't make the changes. And we never know what was behind all that. We'll never know because he could have been reluctant. He could have been digging his heels into making some of the changes that his board of directors wanted to make. And so the way I want to convert that for small business, Tim, and I want us to talk about this more when we come back after the break, is when do you know how to make the change? How long do you hold on to the old ways? When do you move forward with some of the new ideas? And what are the benefits and some of the negatives of doing either one of those? Stay tuned. We're going to be right back, folks. It's 29 after the hour. Tim Berry is our special guest and our good friend. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and we'd like for you to join us. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us today. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you'd like to join me and my guest and our good friend Tim Berry. If you'd like to ask a question, contribute to our conversation, agree with us, disagree with us. Tim, it would be fun if somebody disagreed with us, wouldn't it?
That's always more interesting.
Yeah. 888-822-8255. Tim, I would like for you to tell our audience how they can get your book and how they can order your software.
Oh, thank you, Jim. The toll-free telephone number is 1-800-229-PLAN. That's Palo Alto Software. Business Plan Pro is our main product for doing a business plan with Windows. And Hurdle, the book on business planning, is also sold there. If you're a book buyer, you can also get Hurdle at Amazon.com.
Okay. Now, don't forget, you can't leave us Mac users out, Tim.
Oh, not at all. The Hurdle book comes with the Mac Business Plan Toolkit.
Yeah, but yeah.
Not at all. We're struggling to keep you Mac users going.
Don't give up on us. Don't give up on us, Mac users.
I think we're one of the last. We released a new Macintosh product just January of this year, the Business Plan Toolkit new version.
Good for you. Good for you. I appreciate that. And all my fellow Mac users appreciate that. Tim, I want to continue talking a little bit about something that Gary got us actually headed us the direction. This is a little bit of a different direction than you and I intended to start out, but I really think it's pretty close, and it's a direction that I've been very it's a subject I've been very much interested in, and that is, when do you know, as a small business owner, how do you know when to change? And one of the things I've been thinking of is something I call Beam Me Up, Scotty. And that is, remember the transporters that they had on the Enterprise, where they could transport people, just break the people and stuff down into molecular form and transport it to anywhere in the universe, I guess. What if you were in the automobile business, the fuel business, the airline business, or any of those businesses that have anything to do with transportation in any way, fashion, or form, and somebody developed a transporter? How would you feel about the industry that you were in if tomorrow morning you woke up and somebody had developed a really working, functioning, dependable transporter?
I think, Jim, the key on running a small business, answering your question, is first of all, you need to be planning. So you need to be looking. It's what you've got to do to survive this new invention is you have to see it early. The new invention is great. You just can't be sitting in the background waiting, selling your old way to solve the benefit while some new way comes up and you didn't know it. The key here is you have to know it and react to it fairly quickly. Does that sound like a good first step?
No question about it.
Well, so then we move on then. If we're planning regularly, we're reviewing our business plan regularly, how are we going to somehow institute within our system a way to make sure we catch things early? And I think the answer to that is you need to always focus on the benefits you are providing to your customers. You know, they say in doing a marketing plan, you don't focus on what you have to sell and where to sell it. You think first about what is the need that my customers have that I'm solving for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the same way, as you review your plan every month, review the way your customers are getting the benefit and what is the benefit, and then that leads to looking at what's new in that area. Does that make sense?
It sure does. Let me ask you this question. How do you feel about the section of a business plan called threats and opportunities?
Oh, really important.
It's critical,
really important.
Isn't it?
I think of that, by the way, as part of what they call SWOT, for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Right.
And I divide strengths and weaknesses are generally internal to a company, things like you and your nature in your company that you can change internally, and opportunities and threats are things that are external, changes out there in the whole world that are going to affect your business that are either opportunities or threats. And really, that SWOT analysis, it's a very simple framework for thinking it, but a great way to just review what's going on in your business, and it can be a help. It's a good framework that can help you to remember that each month you ought to review these things.
You know, one of the things that's interesting to me over my 30-plus year career has been to meet people who were really successful, and they were functioning, they were operating successfully in an industry that was really doing well, and they had a product that was really in great demand. And I would say something to them like, boy, congratulations, you know, this widget, this hula hoop or whatever it might be is really going great. Congratulations, I know you're enjoying that. He said, no, I'm not really thinking about that right now. And I'd say, what do you mean? And I'm looking around and his people, you know, customers are carrying this stuff out like crazy.
Yep.
Out the door. And he said, I worked on that 5 years ago. I developed that 5 years ago. I'm already working on the thing that we're going to sell 5 years from now.
Working on what's new.
Yeah. And this was the leader of the company was not really focusing on what they were selling today. He or she was spending virtually all of their time developing the direction of that company.
Well, you know, Jim, there's a going on that. It reminds me, I was dealing with a very high-level marketing consultant.
Tim, can you hold on to that thought?
Yeah.
Hold on, we got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Tim Berry, the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, the president of Palo Alto Software, who are the marketers, the developers of Business Plan Pro. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is our good friend Tim Berry. Tim is the president of Palo Alto Software. They are the folks who own and produce and distribute Business Plan Pro, which is the world's best business planning software. That's for PCs. Then they have the Business Plan Toolkit for Macs. He's also the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. And Tim, before you go into what you were talking about when we took the break, I want to remind people of our phone number, which is 888-822-8255. We've still got time for one more caller. Tim, give us your website again, please, as well as the one where they can go to check out the sample business plans.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have two websites. One of them is free business plan information. a lot of sample plans, and that's at www.bplans.com, B-P-L-A-N-S, bplans.com.
And folks, that's got business plans on it that actually got the business. These are real live business plans, right?
Yep. Oh, and let me tell you, Jim, there's something new on bplans.com that's kind of interesting. We now have free on-the-web software to do the initial assessment of a business plan.
That's
the first
great.
Step when you're asking yourself, is there a there, should I pursue this business idea? Well, you can go to bplans.com, and we call it the plan starter. You go to the plan starter and do some numbers and some thoughts right there. You can print out the results, you can email them to somebody, and it's all
wow.
free there. Yeah, it's a neat new addition.
And it's free, folks, and I'll tell you what, that's one of the reasons why Tim is a member of the Brain Trust. It's that kind of commitment to people that we like. And Tim, I want to thank you very much on behalf of my audience, the small business owners and dreamers everywhere, for making that available.
Well, and you're welcome. And once it's there, we'd love to see people using it. It's intended so you can just do that first assessment.
And folks, that's from a guy who makes his living selling software. He's giving some of it away, and I really admire that. Tim, give us the other website.
And then our main website is www.paloaltosoftware.com.
Okay.
Palo Alto, like a town in California, PALOALTO software.
Okay. PaloAltoSoftware.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Now, we were going to tell a story about a very expensive, fancy marketing consultant who was talking to me about 18 months ago, and the comment came out. He said, Tim, it seems like for running a business, you're very fearful. We were talking about threats. And my answer to him without thinking reminds me of this conversation. Without thinking about it, I said, yes, of course, that's my job. That's what they pay me to do,
right.
is be fearful, meaning I have to be on that fire station lookout post watching for these threats to my business and making sure that we change when we have to change. I think that's very important.
One of the toughest decisions for any small business owner, especially, and apparently, as we were talking earlier, apparently for large business owners as well, the leaders of large businesses, is when to make that change. When do you make the difference? And how many times can we go back in history, how many times have we seen where that's what made the difference in whether a company or an industry sometimes, whether they made it or whether they didn't make it. It's happened so many times, hasn't it, Tim?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know if you like war stories on this show, but it
we
happened
do.
To me in 1994 with my business, and it was very hard. We went down 40% while we changed the product line. We looked at the way the market was developing, and we said, no, we've got to have standalone product here. We really have to make that move forward. But it hurt. It was very hard.
What was happening? Tell us in 1994 what you were facing.
Well, you talk about this change. In 1994, the tools that were available for developing solutions, we're talking about business planning software, and basically what happened was it became time to put it all together into a single package. Everybody was selling templates.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have pieces of the business plan that are like pre-programmed, but
right.
they work with your applications. And the market changed, the platform, the power available in computers changed, and it became time to put it together into a single package, which we did at Palo Alto Software, but it was very hard. Like so many of our listeners, we are a small business. We don't have outside investors. Sales went down and down and down while we were doing this. It was quite frightening.
What caused the sales to go down?
The old product was not good enough.
Were you still selling it? You were selling it, but you weren't promoting it.
Well, we
or
were
did
trying
you just
to
put it
sell
off the market?
It, but our customer, it was almost like beam me up, Scotty. The market had changed, and our customers just weren't buying it anymore, although we were the first to get the new level of software. We were the first in the market with standalone, but people were getting tired of the templates.
Now the scary part is the genius part was that you saw this coming and that you headed in the new direction, and now you are in the position where you are the preeminent software for business planning in the country. But the scary part is you had to take a hit in order to make that happen, didn't you?
Well, here's the problem, Jim, because I did what I would never recommend my colleagues in small business doing. When they ask me as a supposed expert, it's sort of like, do like I say and not like I do, because I... Whoops. Do we need a...
Yeah, break? Hang on to that. That's a little bit of a cliffhanger. We're going to make them wait on that one. It's 50 after the hour. This is a good story, folks. I want Tim to tell you what he actually went through in order to make the change, in order to do the tough thing that he had to do to make sure his company survived. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. All right, we're back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and James Pearson is on the board today, as he is most days, and he's one of the best folks. My producer at the network there at Talk America Radio Network. And James, I don't say this enough, but I want you to know that I appreciate what you do. You do good work. You're one of the best.
It's my pleasure, Jim.
Thank you. Tim, we were hanging on a cliffhanger there. You were about to tell us the story. I had asked you what was going on in 94 when you had to redirect your company, and you were telling us about, I asked you what kind of a hit you had to take.
Well, and remember, as I talk about this, don't do what I did, listeners, please. I don't want to be responsible.
What is it
for
they say? I'm a professional. Don't try this at home.
Yeah. Because it's funny, and in retrospect, it was the right thing. So it's hard, but we stuck to it. My wife came in and worked at the office because we didn't have enough money to afford anybody else practically. We borrowed off the house. We went into debt. We said, we're keeping this business alive, even though right now its sales suck, pardon the expression.
Now, I want to stop for just a half second and remind people that this is a business that was almost 10 years old at that time, wasn't it?
That's true. That was 1994. We started in 83.
This is not a brand new business, folks, that he was having to recapitalize, so to speak. Go ahead, now, Tim.
And we had already gone over our first $1 million sales year in 1993. So then we came down in 94. And rather than dumping the business and falling out of it, we went into hawk, we mortgaged the house, I even had credit card debt up to $65,000. But we weren't going to drop this business. We were going to keep it going because we had faith in the new products and that it would, in fact, come through these hard times and be successful. And thank God it was. But it scares me how much we were risking back then. And I don't know what lesson to tell our listeners, because it sounds like I'm advocating that sort of foolishness, but it's easy to say now because we were right. We stuck to it. The sales came way back. We were able to pay off the debts, and we're much better off for it now.
Well, Tim, I've got some things that I'd like to that I got out of what you just said, and I'd like to pass along, and you comment on these whenever you want. Number one, you had the background. You knew the industry. You knew what was going on. You weren't some casual observer of this industry. You knew the industry. You knew what had to be done. So you had the background. That's number one. Number two, you had the vision. You knew where you wanted to go. You'd done the homework, and you knew where you needed to be. And now it was just a matter of getting there, and you had the commitment based on the faith in your abilities and based on your experience in the marketplace. And based on your vision, you had the faith in those three things to do what it took to stick it out and to make it happen, which is what you've done. Now,
well, which worked, Jim, but I will caution other people that it's too easy to say in hindsight, because when you're doing it now looking ahead, the problem is what now seems like vision in my case might have been foolishness if we'd gone under and lost our house.
But see, I still think it's vision because of, you said you knew what needed to be changed and what had to be done. What I'm saying to people is if you're wondering if you should stick it out, and there are a lot of folks out there right now who are saying, you know, how much longer should I go? My question is, if you know where you, one of the things you need to ask yourself is, do you know where you need to be and what it's going to take for you to get there? And if you don't, maybe that's the time that you need to stop.
Well, the other thing I'd add to that, and that's a good one, Jim, that's right. Do you really have a path that you're following, or are you just wandering?
But a plan.
Also, I think in small business,
Tim,
we have to be careful not to bet what we can't lose.
Good point.
Or can you afford
to lose?
Say
that again quickly.
You have to be careful not to bet what you can't lose.
Can't afford to lose. Tim, that's got to be the last word, and it was an excellent one. As always, you did a great job today. Thank you very much, sir.
Tim.
We'll have
you back
again real soon. Looking forward to it already.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software and the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. We couldn't do without him. Got to go for right now. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Ed Yordan. Ed has been on the show with
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.